is very much a part of the Christmas story. Satan tried to use him to destroy Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas. What about the wise men? Those guys must have been amazing. Possibly even smarter than me. Possibly. But you think about what they knew and the knowledge, it's just incredible. They didn't have all the contraptions we have today. It's amazing. What about the innkeeper? I see him as a little bit grouchy, a little bit overstressed. And I can understand why. I mean, it was Christmas time, and a lot of people were shopping and trying to find deals. Oh, wait, no, that was back then, so things were different. But I think we can connect to the stress level. Do you think maybe he was concerned about all the money he was losing because he kept turning people away? You ever stop and wonder about that? It's like, oh, man, there goes another 3 cents or whatever it costs to stay in an inn that day. Was it shekels? Is what it was. Maybe a hog's tooth. I don't know what they used. I wonder if he ever really knew who he turned away that night. What about the shepherds? I see them as rough and smelly and bad-mannered. Never really socialized with people. Didn't know how to act. They were socially awkward people. But then I see them as extremely gentle, soft, and very excited about the new baby that suddenly put them out of a job because they raised sheep and the lamb came to take away all sacrifices. What about Anna and Simeon? Those old saints. Wow, that'd have been pretty impressive. What wisdom. What a blessing to meet them. Could you imagine their joy when they met Jesus? What about Mary? Luke wrote his story about her, and we're going to talk about her not next week, but the following. Sure would be cool to meet the mother of Jesus. Some of these we may meet in heaven. I hope we can. Some of them I don't think will be there. But there's one man that I think would be really neat to meet, and that's Joseph. I wouldn't call Joseph a forgotten character of Christmas. And by the way, these three Sundays leading up to Christmas that I'm speaking, I'm talking about the three characters of Christmas, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. But Joseph didn't get much recognition. He's mentioned a few times in Scripture, mainly in Matthew, because Matthew tells Joseph's side of the story. But some time ago, I looked through the blue hymnal, and from what I could understand, Joseph is only mentioned twice in Christmas songs, at least in the blue hymnal. Now, don't go and look because I'm probably wrong. But the ones I found were Angels We Have Heard on High. And the verse that one is mentioned in from what I have written here is not in some of the other versions of Angels We Have Heard on High. But I didn't look at it here recently. And O Come All Ye Children is a older Christmas hymn. And he's in that one. But I can understand why Mary gets more attention, because she actually gave birth to Jesus. But I think we actually often overlook the role Joseph plays in this story. So we're going to read Joseph's story as told by Matthew and see what we can learn from him, and maybe especially as us men, we can follow his example in our lives. Now, to be clear, this message would maybe be more geared towards the guys because we're talking about Joseph, and next time we'll be talking about Mary, which might be more geared towards women, but we can all learn from these truths. So let's start Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, as I said, it might be hard to follow my outline here, but I'll try to share that with you. But I first want to talk about Joseph's background. His ancestry, which I did not do, obviously, because reading genealogies in any service can be a little bit dangerous, because some of the words you'll get mispronounced and then people will start falling asleep if you aren't already. But you can see the genealogies that are listed before that passage I just read. And if you go up to verse 6, you'll see that Joseph was descended from royalty. And it says, Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. So he was from the line of kings. We also know that Joseph's father was Jacob, and that is not to be confused with the Joseph of Egypt, whose father was also Jacob. Just an interesting fact. We have his home. He lived in Nazareth, but his hometown was Bethlehem, which is why he had to travel to Bethlehem to be taxed or to count it or whatever it was, which was about a 95-mile drive, trip, walk, hike, whatever it was. Now, a woman who's that pregnant, 95-mile ride in the car, even with today's technology, and the cars are so comfortable, they probably still aren't going to be real thrilled about it. But what about on a donkey or walking? Just feel like that probably wouldn't have excited either of them and probably would have stressed Joseph out just a little bit. His trade, we know he was a carpenter, which really piques my interest. I'd like to meet him for that, just that reason alone, just to see how he did carpentry. They use primitive tools that interests me. I'm not at all interested in using them, just how they use them. It's a lot of work. If you know anything about woodworking, we cheat a lot today, and it was amazing what they did back then. His status socially and spiritually, we'll discuss this a little bit later, but he was very religiously devout. He kept the laws. We also know that he was very poor. And if you want a little bit of evidence of that, when they went to the temple for the sacrifice, he took a turtle dove instead of a lamb. So that shows a little bit of his financial status. His age? I'm going to try not to get myself in trouble here, but scriptures give no reference of how old Mary or Joseph are. And there's a wide range of opinions. Some believe in Jewish customs, the betrothal, they feel like each person needed to be young. Some suggest that Joseph was less than 24 and quite possibly a teenager. My opinion is I think he was older than that. Others go far to the other end of the spectrum and believe he was a widower, was already married before, and could have been 70 years old. They don't know. Choose whatever age you like, really, because it doesn't change the Christmas story. Okay. If you want my personal opinion, I'll share it with you. You have to come ask me, though, how old Joseph was. Let's talk about his engagement. Jewish engagements were very sacred. Engagements usually were arranged by parents, sometimes even without the children's approval. They got together. They wrote up a marriage contract. I guess at some point the children found out who they were marrying, and that could only be broken by a legal divorce. Good times. Exciting. Be all for that, I think. For my kids, not for me. When the contract was signed, then the couple was legally pledged to each other. They entered into that betrothal period, which lasted up to a year. And after this period was over, then there was a public wedding ceremony, and then they could live together as husband and wife. Before the ceremony, they were not to be together intimately as husband and wife. And if the man died during that period, the woman was still considered a widow, even though she was not yet married. So this year betrothal period was a test of commitment and faithfulness to each other. Then, according to Deuteronomy, if the woman was found pregnant during that time, she was to be put to death by stoning. Little side note from what historians say, they have close evidence of it almost being carried out with the woman caught in adultery, but they don't know if that was ever officially carried out with someone. But that gives you a little bit of the history and depth of the engagement period. It was very intense. It was strict. They didn't take it lightly. And that's why Joseph went through so much emotional anguish. But let's talk about his dilemma, what he was faced with. In verse 18, we just read, look at it again if you would. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, and you know what that means, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So we outlined how the Jewish betrothal period worked and what was implied now that she was pregnant. And can you imagine the anguish that Joseph would have felt, the anguish he would have gone through, the anger, the rage, the disgust, disappointment, the confusion, betrayal, whatever you want to throw in there. I wonder what he would have said to Mary. I thought I knew you better than that. I trusted you. I kept myself for you. Why'd you do that to me? I see him asking Mary, what will people think? They're going to think this is my child and I broke the law and I'll never be able to show my face in public again. What would a guy in a similar situation today do? I don't know what it costs, but here's a couple hundred or a couple thousand bucks. Go fix the problem, honey. Right? And thankfully, far as I know, if it was an option, it certainly isn't readily available as it is now. And just from the way Joseph handled that situation, I don't even think that entered his mind that that was an option. But 19 says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. One thing I find interesting here, this scripture calls Joseph her husband. They weren't married yet. That's how deep that Jewish betrothal was. They were already considered husband and wife, even though the marriage ceremony wasn't completed. But here's where Joseph's character really shines. His love for her was so deep that even though he wasn't yet convinced of her innocence, he still doubted her. He thought about privately divorcing her. Now, we don't understand this because we didn't live in that culture. But Jewish law allowed for divorce in this case, but it was made public. Okay, he didn't want to make a public example of her. So if he divorced her, it would be made public. The punishment for that crime varied from region to region. Some regions cut off the ears and nose of the woman for doing that. In some cases, she was stoned to death. His love for Mary was so deep and so great. He didn't want her to suffer humiliation, possibly torture, maybe death. So he thought to put her away privately, not publicly. Even though he felt that she had been unfaithful to him, his love outweighed that. I find Joseph to be an incredible man of character. But in case you didn't notice it, the verse says, minded. He didn't actually do it. He was just thinking about it. His love for her was so great, he couldn't even bring himself to put her away privately. He remained faithful to her even though he seriously questioned her faithfulness to him. So now let's talk about his dream. I see Joseph in anguish. Deep anguish over this whole concept. How could he put his true love away forever? That would be the end of the relationship. What if she was telling him the truth? Then's when the Lord really came to Joseph's rescue in verse 20. Sending an angel, he said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to you as a wife, for what is conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. Still, you can't figure that one out, but I feel like if an angel visibly came to me and reassured me of something I was afraid of, I probably would feel better after the situation, but who knows? We're humans and probably wouldn't believe the angel. But that was enough for Joseph. Through that visit, the Lord removed any doubt Joseph had towards Mary, and I'm sure he was very relieved that he didn't follow through with his thoughts of putting her away privately. But then in 21 through 23, the angel gives more directions to Joseph. She will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And this is all what the angel is telling Joseph. I would imagine, because we know that Joseph was very devout and knew the scriptures very well. By the way, he kept the law. We knew that. So I think he was very familiar with those prophetic messages about, you know, a virgin and this whole Christmas story that was, you know, in Isaiah. And I'm sure he was very familiar with it. But he hadn't put the pieces together. And probably like any one of us would have been like, there's no way God would use me for something like that. But I like to think of it this way. The angel says to Joseph, you know that whole story and the prophecy about, you know, Jesus coming, the Messiah coming, and God was going to use some very special people to be his parents? Well, that's you too. Man, imagine that. Imagine that dream. But then we come to his decision. What was he going to do about it? 24 and 25, Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. There's several things to note here. First, he took Mary as his wife. God often used dreams back then, and I feel like he still does to some degree today, but he often used dreams back then to speak to people. So that's all that it took for Joseph to be recommitted and assured him that all was well. He took Mary as his wife. He didn't know her, okay? And we all know what that means. But that shows the incredible character of Joseph. He refrained from any physical intimacy with his new bride until she had Jesus. That shows the incredible integrity and character of Joseph. He didn't want the miracle of Jesus' conception by the Holy Spirit being tarnished and slandered by unbelievers saying, oh, that's your child. Nothing's to that. So that's why he waited. That impresses me. That's very incredible. His dedication to God won out over his physical desires. And then he called his name Jesus. Notice in that scripture it says, he called his name Jesus, not they. By doing this, Joseph exercised a father's duty, even though he wasn't the blood father, and officially took on Jesus as his legal son. By saying he called his name Jesus, Joseph made that legal commitment to Jesus as his father. So yeah, I would like to meet Joseph. I think he was a great man. And sometimes studying into these small portions, sometimes where there's a lot more depth than what you realize until you dig a little bit, really can teach us a lot. And what can we learn from his example? How can we apply what Joseph taught us and apply it to us today? We live in an age, in a world of so much confusion, and we can learn a few things from Joseph about being what a godly man looks like, what a godly person looks like. First, he was strong when he could have been weak. Joseph did what was right. He showed incredible strength. He did what was right, even when everything was stacked against him. So let me ask you this question. Are you determined to do what God wants you to do, what you know is right, no matter what? Don't give in to the flow. Don't do what everyone else is doing just because it's popular. Stand alone and be an example of strength. Obviously not in yourself, but of God. And just as God was there to strengthen Joseph, and we see that through this story, when he needed it, he's going to do the same for us. If we determine, I'm going to stand strong, do what's right no matter what. Psalms 29:11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And this one's a little close to home for me. but Joseph was tender when he could have been harsh. Now, obviously, we weren't there, and it's not recorded, but from what we see recorded, not once do we see Joseph showing harshness. In fact, he displayed the opposite. He didn't want to embarrass Mary. He didn't want to cause her any hurt. Are you tender, men, with your wife and children? And I'm saying that to me, too. And this is convicting to me, because I'm reminded of the verse, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I know many times I could have saved turmoil by a softer, more tender response. And I'm sure many of you can tell me similar situations. There's a whole lot more to be said there, but that would take up another whole sermon. Another example we can learn from him is to be thoughtful. He was thoughtful when he could have been hasty. Here we read about Joseph. He thought about putting away Mary privately, but he thought on it for a while. He just didn't jump and do it. Are you thoughtful, taking your time to make decisions? Or are you quick to jump to conclusions and make rash judgments and then later regret them? Here again, the Lord showed me that I'm a work in progress. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Proverbs 14:29, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Do you wait on the Lord and seek him when you're making decisions? Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Joseph was also trusting when he should have doubted. And through this story, we see how much trust and faith Joseph had in the Lord. And when the angel showed him the truth, Joseph didn't doubt. He just did what he needed to do. And God knows what's best for us. He cares about us. And as I've shared before, sometimes, you know, I'll pray the prayer and suggest to the Lord how things should go and then expect him to make it happen. You ever been there? Okay, Lord, here's my plans. Now you make it work. Time and time again, I look back and, oh yeah, God knew what he was doing. He had it figured out better than I did. Psalms 37:5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And here again, we could spend a lot of time on the lessons that need to be learned on this one. But are we able to trust that the Lord is big enough to help you, or do we doubt him? And this closing statement I want to make is mostly really for us fathers here today, for us men. There's one more thing we can learn about Joseph. When Jesus grew up and started his ministry, he used one word more than any other to describe what God is like. Does anyone know what that word was? Anyone take a guess? Father. Where did Jesus learn about fathers? From Joseph. I'm sure you've heard it said that children get their view of father from their earth of God from their earthly father. And I'll tell you, that's a tough pill to swallow. If their father was harsh and tough and mean and abusive, then that's who they think God's like, sometimes, oftentimes. If their father was loving and kind and graceful and merciful, then that's what they see God as like. Again, I'm convicted to portray a kind and loving, not harsh, strong, not weak, tender, not harsh, thoughtful, not hasty, and trusting, not doubting, before my children. Then they might get a better picture of what our Heavenly Father is like. Wow, that's a challenge. So I was amazed at studying the story of Joseph. And if I was to be completely blunt, it's probably my favorite story, because Joseph was a dad and I'm a dad, and it rings true for me. So I hope that was informative but also helpful to you. that we can learn from Joseph, the first character of Christmas, what it means to really stand true and be a Christian. Stand with me, please. Lord, again, as always, we thank you for your word and the truths that are to be found there. And once again, we ask that you would pour it into our hearts and make it a part of our lives that we can follow it and obey you and stand firm and strong and be an example in this lost world of what it truly means to have you on our side and you as our Savior. Would you bless each one today? Give them a good day. In your name, amen.